In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture points to Jesus and the hope we have in Him. It's why it's always a good thing to be in the Scriptures, right? No matter what section of Scripture that you're in. But there are some sections of Scripture that are so succinct and so clear and so easily understood that these sections of Scripture become famous. People memorize them, reference them, and think about them often, because they give such hope to the sinner as they live in this dark world of sin. That's why you probably all know the passage, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or have eternal life. Or you might know Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Or you might know Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And finally, it's why you might know this very final verse of our text. A verse where Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I think that's a famous passage, right? It's one that I had to memorize when I was a kid, and maybe you memorized it in Sunday school or catechism class as well. For this passage, so succinctly and so clearly, in a way that we can easily understand it, summarizes the entire work of Jesus. A work that is different than the work that anyone else performed in the history of the world. For listen to how this passage starts off. It starts off with Jesus calling himself the Son of Man. And often we don't think about him being the Son of Man, right? We focus on him being the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. We make a big deal. He's not just a mere human being, but he's also the Son of God. We make a big deal of that, and rightly so. But let's not miss out on the fact that he's the Son of Man. He's a human being just like me and you. He spent 9 months in his mother's womb. He was born of a woman. That means he had to eat and drink in order to sustain his life. It means he had to rest to recuperate after a long, hard day of work. You see, Jesus did not just give the appearance that he was a man. He was not just controlling a man's body the way we might control a robot. But the Son of God really became the Son of Man. The Creator really became a part of his creation. God is also man. And as amazing as that truth is, what follows next is even more amazing. For in that famous passage, Jesus declares, "The Son of Man did not come to be served." That doesn't make sense to our minds, right? You see, in ancient literature, sometimes the Greeks or the Roman gods would actually come down to the Greek and Roman people and mingle among them. And in that literature, if the gods of the Greeks and Romans would ever come down to the mere mortals, what did the gods expect the mere mortals to do? They expected to serve them, right? They expected the mere mortals to wait on them hand and foot and do whatever they wanted. And if the mere mortals didn't do that, they often got punished by the gods. And I guess that makes sense to our minds, right? If God were to actually come down and be a part of his creation, it makes sense that he would be coming down to be served by his creation. That's the way things work in this world. Those in authority are usually served by those underneath them. It's why Jesus himself used the example of the Gentile rulers, right? Who love to lord their authority over others. They expected others to serve them. But the Son of God, when he became the Son of Man, did not come into this world to be served by his creation. Even though he deserves to be served by his creation, for he deserves all glory and honor and praise for everything he does, he did not come into this world simply to be served. Instead, contrary to the way that any human being would think, proven that this doctrine could not have been invented by a man, listen to what Jesus says. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And acting in that way is almost unheard of, right? What authority figure makes it his goal to serve those underneath him? What king makes it his goal to go into the marketplace and begin serving those who are buying and selling goods? What boss would make it his goal to leave his corner office on the top floor to begin serving those who are working in the cubicles? Usually things like that don't happen, right? You see, we have an idea of glory in this world, that the more authority you get, the more others serve you, and the less you have to serve them. That's the way that James and John were thinking when they brought that request to Jesus to sit at his right and sit at his left. Notice they didn't ask, please sit me in the lowest place of heaven. They wanted a position of glory and authority so that others might serve them. It's why the other 10 got mad at James and John. They wanted that position of authority so that others could serve them. You see, they had that false idea that is in this world even today, that glory comes by having authority and by having others serve you. But Jesus has a different idea of glory and authority, doesn't he? It's not all about us or others serving us. It's all about us serving others. It's not about lording our authority over others the way the Gentile rulers do. But it's all about serving one another in love, reflecting the sacrificial love that Christ has first shown to us. That's how we become great and glorious. It's by serving others. After all, that's how the Son of Man became great and glorious, right? For listen to the service that the Son of Man did when he came into this world. This service is greater than any other service that anyone has ever performed in the history of the world. For in that famous passage, Jesus concludes, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Talk about service. God didn't become man just so that he could give people a plate of food. God didn't become man so he could serve people by doing manual labor. But the entire reason that the Son of God became the Son of Man was to give up his life for you. The entire reason the Son of God became a man just like you was so that he could be your perfect substitute. It was the only way he could be your ransom. And do you understand what that word means, a ransom? To ransom something means to buy it back. If someone were to kidnap my kids and demand $1,000 as a ransom, I would have to pay that $1,000 to get my kids back. That's a ransom, to buy something back. Well, God had to buy you back because you wandered away from him. You left him and began to follow all the false gods of this world instead. And when you follow all those false gods, which include the false god of glory that James and John were after in our text, when you follow all those false gods, then you do not belong to the Creator any longer. Sin separates you from your God. Sin takes you outside of your Creator's grasp and brings you under the control of your enemies. But your Creator did not want to leave you there. He did not want to leave you in control of your enemies. He does not want anything in his creation to be under the control of his enemies. So what did your God, your Creator, do? Well, God became man so that he could serve you by giving up his life for you, by dying in your place, suffering the punishment that you deserved. That's how he could buy you back from your enemies. All the gold and silver in the world would not have been enough to buy you back. Instead, the only price that could buy you back was his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. That's it. It was the only way. In fact, that's why at the beginning of our text, Jesus was so intent on going into Jerusalem. Did you notice that? He was so determined to go into Jerusalem that the disciples were amazed and maybe even a little afraid of him. They couldn't understand why he was so determined to get to that capital city. But Jesus was so determined to go to Jerusalem, leading the way there, as the scripture said. Because that's the entire reason of why he came into the world. God became man so he could be mocked, beaten, spit upon, and flogged. God became man so that he could be condemned to death and rise on the third day. For that's how you are ransomed. That's how you are bought back. That's how Jesus becomes your redeemer. For as the famous passage says, the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And now that the Son of Man has completed his service, now that God has become a man to ransom you, you get to be so different than this world around you. You do not make it your glory, your goal to get glory inside of this world. You know that true glory cannot be found inside of this world. You've been set free from trying to prove to yourself or to others or even to your God how glorious you really are. You've been set free from that because you have been ransomed by the blood of Christ. You are glorious because of what Christ has already done for you. And so, having been set free from that earthly desire for glory, you now recognize where true glory is found for you. True glory is not found in sitting at Jesus' right or left. True glory is not found in having that peak position of authority. But true glory is found in being a servant, in serving others the exact same way that Christ has already served you. True glory is found in living your life as a ransomed child of God. That's why this passage has become so famous. It's why you memorized it growing up. It's why I memorized it growing up. It's so clearly and succinctly, in a way you can easily understand, summarize the entire work of Jesus. And so, my dear Christian friends, my prayer is that you have this passage on your mind, especially when those false ideas of glory creep up and you begin to think highly of yourself. I pray that you have this passage on your mind. For there is only one way that you can be absolutely glorious. It's found in the fact that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but instead to serve and give his life for you as a ransom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise for prayer.